you came on at episode 2 and you kept listening since then. Why? Because that's you should not have done that. Welcome to New Game Plus, a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Nolan has coffee.
And you are listening to and or watching episode 264, and this is a director episode.
Whoa, big hype.
Those are rare, few and far in between, but we're excited every single time that we get to have one of these.
Far in between?
Yeah. I'm hype always.
Few and far in between. Few and far between.
There it is.
And so we've got our friend Antonin that will be joining us here shortly. But before he does, want to talk gaming news just a little bit. We probably all missed it. I think it's just the new routine. Awesome Games Done Quick 2021 has already come to an end.
I've missed like the last four. I swear they do them every other week at this point.
Well, they do one in the winter. They do one in the summer. They concluded, it's probably more at this point, but 2,759,422 raised for the Prevent Cancer Foundation.
And they weren't even there in person. Like, they always are cool. Hype.
Like, right. One of our directors, Garlisle, you remember, he was doing an incredible job keeping us all up to date in Discord with letting us know the NGP-related games that were being played each day during the event.
So cool.
Games like Echo the Dolphin, Turok Dinosaur Hunter, Metroid Prime, Michael Jordan, Chaos in the Windy City.
Swish.
And even Zelda Wand of Gamelon.
Yikes.
Yeah. Zelda Wand of Gamelon.
We don't talk about
I know that y'all probably didn't watch any live, so that's not what I'm going to try to ask right now. But did you hear about any of the good runs? Do you intend to go back and watch any?
I didn't hear about any of them. Garlisle was updating us, but none of them, I don't know, none of them stood out to me. I think it's because normally I look at the schedule and plan which ones to tune in for. And like, I mean, I didn't even know what was going on, so I didn't look at that. So I don't know. You'll have to tell me which ones I need to check out.
And I prefer my awesome games done slowly. So,
it's really good.
They typically have a, awful games done quick section of the thing. That's where Wand of Gamelon got pulled.
That's
obviously
where I would spend my time.
Superman 64 is always in there.
So, Nolan, I had told you, and I don't know if I sent you the link, but I raved about it, the Super Mario 64 blindfolded.
Yeah. Oh, it was part of GDQ.
Yeah.
That's just not right.
Which is what we're talking about. Oh, you weren't following that as I was telling you that it was a part of GDQ?
No. Oh. Okay.
Yes. It's 16-star run, but he did the entire thing blindfolded, and it is immaculate to watch. It is insane.
That's one of the most impressive gaming things. You need your eyes. Like,
you do.
What?
Yeah. He only used audio cues and I guess just feeling. I don't know, because there's no controller feedback.
It's probably memory too. Just like memorizing some inputs. And oh my gosh.
There was also a 6 world records that were achieved at
That's a ton. And like that's tough.
So Sonic 1, and some of them were back to back either.
Sonic 1?
Yeah, back-to-back with Sonic 3, and then Shinobi Legends and Energy. I think those were part of Awful Games Done Quick. And then Diablo 3, three-person team, not only got the record for three-person team, but beat out four-person team, and then Super Orb Bros. I don't know that game, but those all were world records.
The Sonic one seems like a big deal. What?
Doesn't Sonic 1 seem like a big... Yeah, because that's Sonic 1.
I gotta watch that, because I'm sure they freaked out.
Yeah,
that is
a big deal. I don't know if we need to like stop or whatever, because Kenny's having sinus issues and his sneezes are coming through. I keep hearing a chocobo.
Do you need some Gasol greens, Kenny?
You need some Gasol greens, Kenny?
If it would help with what's going on in my world and face right now, I would eat some greens.
Like chocobos?
Like a chocobo.
Like in our retro game of the week, Final Fantasy IV Advance.
overview.
Antonin, welcome back to New Game Plus. We're so thrilled to have you joining us. Would you greet all of your friends and fellow listeners to New Game Plus?
Yeah, hi everyone. I am so psyched to be here. Like I've been excited about it for the past several weeks, and I'm so excited to say hi everyone on the NGP Discord and to all the listeners.
This isn't your first time to join us. Give a little bit of history, because you, when we say day ones, you're among that very finite small group of individuals. In fact, in my mind right now, I've only got two people.
Yeah, but two people. Literally the first person I talked to us, I'm pretty sure, was Antonin.
So Antonin, just if from recollection, a little bit of your history with New Game Plus, including when you've joined us on the show before.
Sure. So back in 2015, I remember scrolling through our podcast's subreddit, and being like, all right, I want to find some new podcasts. I had just discovered podcasts because my daughter was born, and I'm like, I need to listen to something while I spent 3 hours walking around with her trying to get her to sleep, right? And I stumbled upon the second episode, on our podcast for NGP podcast. And I'm like, hey, this is a cool concept. I love stuff like that. I love randomizer stuff. I love doing something different every single week. I like the idea that listeners can join in. So I started listening and I haven't stopped. I think, like, as far as like which episodes I made it to, I think I'm on like episode 50 or like the 1 year anniversary when my audio screwed up. So you can't really like hear me.
Hey, that worked.
It did. Yeah. There's another episode that I can't disclose that I showed up on. And I think for the 5 year anniversary, there was that whole outro with the voicemails, right? And so I was on there for like 5 seconds.
Cried.
That's so, one of my favorites.
Yeah, NGP MVP.
Yeah, MGP MVP, Kenny.
I'll give it to you.
Yes. That's not bad. So you came on at episode 2 and you kept listening since then. Why? Because that's you should not have done that.
So let's talk about episode 1, Earthworm Jim. Okay. Because that was one of my favorite games growing up. And I'm like, I have not seen a single podcast cover, you know, this game. So
for good reason.
that is literally why I started, you know, why I kept up with it. I listened to the first episode. You all played a game I really liked, and I'm like, all right, let me stick with it. Love listening to you all, you know, the banter, the fun, and obviously I like listening to podcasts about, I don't want to say new games, but about games I don't know and games I do know but don't talk to people about. So but then the community, Discord community, huge reason of why I'm still here.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So your daughter's
good folks.
Your daughter's 5 now, right?
Yes.
5?
Wow. That's how math works.
All right, Kenny. We'll see you later. Thanks for coming on this episode of New Game Plus. All right. So, Antonin, we're so glad that you're here, seriously. And you've been such a supporter of the show ever since day one. So this is natural and normal to us. It doesn't even feel like a guest episode.
Right.
It feels just like a normal one because you've been a part of it for the long run. And you've really never even phased out. You know, a lot of people come in and then they'll be gone for a few months and then they'll come back later and be like, hey, I still listen. But you've been a part of the community ever since. So again, thank you. Now, you could have picked any game. This is your first time coming on where you hand select the retro game of the week. You selected Final Fantasy IV Advance. Why?
So, well, first of all, like, you all have played basically every single game that I love, right? Like Diablo 2, Unreal Tournament. Sometimes you ended up playing it when I'm like out of town, which sucks. But it's always like, why do things align this way? But I've been playing a lot of Final Fantasy games, and Final Fantasy IV Advance was the first Final Fantasy I've beaten, and I figured, hey, this would be great to talk about. I had just played it. I have a podcast about Final Fantasy, and I'm editing the episodes right now. I feel like I have a lot of stuff to talk about this game.
Yeah. Final Fantasy IV is what you're playing on your podcast right now. You're playing it on the PSP? No, you're playing it on PC.
Yes. I'm playing the 3D version, so it's a little bit different.
Which was kind of made for phone, is what it seems like.
Yeah, it looks like a phone game to me.
Yeah. Well,
It was a DS game first, and then it was ported to the phone and to the PC. They made an update to the Final Fantasy IV 3D game early last year to change the user interface from being phone-like to being more PC-aligned. It's so much better now.
Yeah. But you didn't pick that PC version. You picked the Game Boy Advance version. So Final Fantasy IV was developed and published by Square in 1991, originally for the Super Nintendo. And then it was ported several times, PlayStation, Nintendo DS, PSP, PC, mobile, and Game Boy Advance. You selected the GBA version as the one for us to play. Is there a reason why that one and not the PC version that you're playing?
I think the PC version doesn't satisfy the 15 years or older, but it's not as nice. I really like the art in the advanced version. I think the best art is on the PSP, but I have no experience with it other than watching streams of it. But yeah, the Final Fantasy IV Advance, just beautiful art. I think it's better than SNES. You know, it fixes a few things. I think it's the ideal version to play.
Those Final Fantasy ports for GBA were all like really solid. Like 1 and 2 came in a package. Like they were just excellent ports.
Dawn of Souls. We kind of already established anything on GBA at this point is
it's Dustin's favorite console. So.
It's my favorite console.
It's your favorite console of all time.
It just doesn't make sense how quality the GBA stuff is. I'm always amazed at what they're able to do with that. So your podcast is YAF Podcast, yet another Final Fantasy podcast.
I love that.
You're systematically going through the Final Fantasy games and kind of each episode is like a chapter of the game. So far you've done Final Fantasy 1, 2, 3. You're on 4 right now. Are you actually playing it right now? Or because I know you've done episodes in advance. So right now the episodes that are coming out are Final Fantasy IV. Is that the game you're currently playing, or are you playing five, or are you taking a break?
I'm playing five. I took a break. I wanted to kind of batch them and play them. I don't want to say quickly, but I would just play them at my own pace and record the podcast instead of like waiting a week before playing again and recording it. So right now I think the Final Fantasy IV episodes that people are listening to were recorded back in July of last year or something like that, and I'm just now recording like episode 6 of Final Fantasy V. Yeah. And Final Fantasy V is long. Jeez.
Yeah. And it sucks. Sorry, Garlisle. All right. So real quick, let me give an overview, a story of what Final Fantasy IV is.
Please.
It is an RPG, role-playing video game, of course, in the Final Fantasy series, the fourth in the Final Fantasy series. Your lead character, Cecil or Cecil. You say Cecil, Antonin?
We're not.
Antonin, what do you say?
I say Cecil.
What? I think that's what it is.
I also call her Rydia. Do you all say Rydia or Rydia?
I'm fine with Rydia. Rydia's fine.
I can't
do Cecil.
Well, he's a dark knight who is disenfranchised by the behavior of the king, the recent decisions of the king, Baron. And when he says as much, he's stripped of his rank and used against his knowledge and will to wreak havoc on a neighboring village. So that the King of Baron, there's actually someone behind the King of Baron that's pulling all the strings so that that entity can steal these powerful crystals from throughout the world and destroy the planet. So that is the overview of the game that you selected, Antonin, as your guest game, Final Fantasy IV Advance.
Gameplay.
So Final Fantasy IV is fairly familiar to those who are fans.
A lot of
it looks and feels like other early Final Fantasy titles. You're doing pretty typical role-playing types of things. Party of varying sizes throughout the game, like all over the map on that front, which is kind of interesting. And we do get the introduction of active time battles here, which I think is probably the thing we need to talk about most, as to me, it felt like the most unique thing, gameplay-wise, at least, relative to kind of all the other titles.
Wait, why? Is this the first ATB?
This is introduction of ATB, yeah.
I get early FF mixed up. For the same reason that what you just said, Kenny, they all look alike, blue menu, and so I didn't know this was the first one. That's awesome.
There are a lot of Final Fantasy firsts in Final Fantasy IV. Anton, you'll probably have to help us out with some of these, but I know that this is the first one where you do have a revolving party that you play as with a team of 1, 2, 3, 4, and up to 5, I think is the largest it goes. That the classes are unswitchable, that they are predetermined by the story, by the game. You cannot select which kind of classes you're playing. You could do that in 1, 2, and 3. Anton, are you familiar with any of the other like major changes or additions in this one?
Well, it's the first SNES game, so
it is the first SNES. The other three have been on NES. Yeah,
that's huge.
Right, and then as Kenny pointed out, the ATB system in all video games was created for Final Fantasy IV.
That's also massive because it's such a good system. You said that's what's up because I think it's your jam, Dustin. It works. Yes, so
I love ATB.
It's perfect. Like,
because
I
hated it so much.
You hate it?
Why?
Yeah, no, I currently don't hate it, but when I first played Final Fantasy IV Advance, right, like that was my big introduction to Final Fantasy from world of my RPGs were either action RPGs like Diablo or like real turn-based RPGs like Pokemon. So I'm getting in there. I'm like, all right, let me figure out my strategy. And then I see the bar moving and I'm like, no, you know, it gave me a little bit of stress, but I feel like, yeah, it's definitely a fantastic mechanic now that I like understand the point of it and how it makes the game feel a little bit swifter and just more fast paced in battles.
For those of you that are unfamiliar with ATB, I don't know all of the mechanics behind it, but I think, tell me if this is fair enough, guys, that it's where characters don't always act on a one-to-one ratio. You know, it's not just this character's turn, then this character's turn, then the enemies, then this character's.
Yeah, right.
It's each character has a gauge that fills up over time and based on their stats. And then they go according to that order. I believe, actually, even in the Super Nintendo version, I might be wrong on this, that it's not a visible bar, that it's actually kind of a behind the scenes thing, I think, and that for the GBA version we do have that visible ATB bar. Not entirely sure on that one, but either way, is that a fair representation of what ATB is?
I think so.
I think there is one more other detail of it, and it's that not only do characters wait until they can place a turn, but certain attacks take longer than others to fulfill, which that surprised me. I didn't notice that before.
Right, and this is also enemy interactions as well.
Yeah,
and
they have one too.
Their speed is also taken into account. And so it gives you some like strategic things to do, and B, it forces you to not just like get to a turn, take all the time you want and think.
You could have said A and then T and then B. I would have loved for you to do that.
Yeah, but that's too on the nose.
It's also what it gives you is this constant flow of battle. I even put in my configuration, instead of from wait, I put it to active, and so it's moving. Time is moving the entire time.
So you can't sit in your menu when it comes.
You can't just sit in your menu. You need to move actively. But active time battle. So it's real time commands. Time is flowing back and forth. It adds a whole new layer of enjoyment for me, and it carries on through, I guess, 5, 6, 7,
a lot.
I think the next six games or something are all ATB based.
I think the way up until 10, maybe they even have a new kind of version of ATB in 10, but man, they carry that for a while. One of the things that I love about Final Fantasy IV compared to the previous games, and in remakes of Final Fantasy II and III, they added this a little bit more. But in Final Fantasy IV, you've got characters, real characters that the story has built out and is giving you. And they can do that because it's predetermined classes.
Yeah, you would like it, Dustin. It's my least favorite part of the game. I know that it's what Final Fantasy became, is sort of this character story driven genre. Yes. And like that works for it. But a reason that the first game is one of my favorites is because I like the flexibility of choosing my party, choosing my class, choosing which skills each person takes, and like doing the role playing I don't know, on my own in my head, sort of creating a character for these people. And so it kind of bums me out that the whole franchise kind of went in this direction. But for its ability to do storytelling effectively, it was a really good choice.
Go play Final Fantasy 14 or 11 if you want to do your own thing again.
The MMO.
Yeah. Final Fantasy did grow in this of like really giving you a story and predetermined characters, and which I've always loved. They give you some flexibility to still explore the world and do what with your character what you want to do, but with parameters. And they do that so that they can tell the excellent stories that Final Fantasy has grown to be able to tell.
Yeah, and along with that, one like major gameplay mechanic, and you mentioned it, is that your party is like constantly rotating in this game. As new characters are introduced, as some of them get separated, you get to different sections. Your party is different. And at first, I'm like, I hate that because Kenny's shaking his head. Because in the first few, I like picking and knowing who's who. And I want them always to be there so that I know what to expect. I know how to approach a battle. But after I just like gave myself over to that, like it's going to happen, I love that because it made the gameplay pacing just so fresh, and it really did make it more story driven. I think it's such a smart decision by them if they're going to do the heavy characters and like the personalities and the set classes to give you different experiences throughout the story. And so I'm actually a fan of it now. And Kenny, you need to grow up.
When you give me characters that are so fun and I'm excited to play and have interesting mechanics, and then fairly quickly after that, you make them sacrifice their life by turning themselves to stone.
Spoiler alert!
That's pretty
early.
You're fine. So that you can't ever interact with them again. Not like even they've been kidnapped and you know they're going to return to your party someday, or, oh, they're going off on the side quest and you're like, I'll probably see them again. Just turned to stone. We'll never see him again. It makes me sad.
I was pretty sad when that happened. But I have a conspiracy theory here.
Let's hear it.
I think that Final Fantasy IV, the changing of the party, was to introduce new players to the franchise, to all the different classes, different like party makeups and how you could do things when you had the two mages, right? You have the black and white mage and you have a paladin, and I can't remember who else was tagging along, but it was a revolving door, right? But then in Final Fantasy V, you have the story, but you get to pick your party. So in 4, the game kind of teaches you all the cool things you can do with your party setups.
Yeah, 5 is the job system, right? Where
Yeah,
and see, I've never wanted to jump into that. That's a pretty good theory, because they're opposites. Like, yeah. 4 came, but the release in the States, too, is weird, too. What is this, Final Fantasy 2, when it first came here or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. They just skipped over 2 and 3, brought it here. I've never gotten into all of that because when I got into the Final Fantasy
universe,
it was already fixed, for the most part. Okay. So, like, it can get very confusing. But, yeah, they skipped 2 and 3 in the United States and then brought over 4 as to why they would do that, who knows. But it's been corrected since. And in this, like what we're talking about, there are 12 characters that enter and exit your party throughout the duration of the game, and some of them have similar classes, but they all function at least a little bit differently from one another. Let's go around the table. What is everyone's maybe favorite? Yeah, what's everyone's favorite character and why? Antonin,
easy.
Antonin, you want to start?
Yeah, sure. I absolutely love Rydia. She's my favorite character. I just like her as a character. I think she has a better story than Cecil. Cecil or can Cecil. Go somewhere. Cecil, whatever. Am I wait, which way was I supposed to say it? I can't remember.
You said that you say Cecil, which don't change just for my sake.
I change things as I go. Okay. So yeah, maybe I do say Cecil. So Cecil, I don't like his story that much, but Rydia, she's the MVP of the entire party, to be honest. And she's a summer. She's powerful. Love it.
Green hair.
Kenny?
Yeah.
Green hair. Yeah. Kenny?
I already told you my favorite. It's the twins.
Palum and Porum?
Yeah.
It would be.
Slight preference for Palum. His attitude is fun. and they just they come in at a fun time and fill a fun role. I know that's short term, but the characters were just fun, and the whole like twin move was interesting and powerful, even if it wasn't something you actually pulled out very often.
Yeah,
and I think that's worth pointing out something. They do a good job not just of giving you like different classes that have a little bit of access to different skills, but they do a little bit more specialization here, where you get unique skills per class as well, where your bard feels bardish, where your you know casters feel casterish, and so on and so forth.
You're a Merry and Pippin kind of guy, huh, Kenny?
Oh yeah, no, I'm a Sam Wise boy.
Oh, I love Harry Potter. All right, Nolan, who is your favorite?
Tella, easily.
Ooh,
yeah,
really? The crotchety old man.
Yeah, because he's not your typical Final Fantasy character, and I like unique characters. He's an older playable character that you get, and he's a mage, and I like his glasses. He looks like Lennon.
Cool. Dustin, are you a Cid boy, or are you just a sucker for the redemption arc of Cecil?
I mean, I love Cecil. I'm definitely not a Cid boy. If anything, I'm a Yang.
Oh,
boy,
Yang.
He's the monk in the party, and monks always have the potential to hit hard, hit fast. So I really like that. I like Edge. He's a later character that you might not have gotten to this week. I don't like his personality necessarily, he's a ninja. Yeah.
He's pretty edgy.
He is. He's a ninja prince, and so that's really cool. Why did no one say Edward, the cool bard?
I thought Kenny would.
I like his character okay, but he's a little underwhelming.
He's not bardish enough for you?
No, I actually like how bardy they gave him. Like, he's actually musical and the whole thing, but he feels weak to me.
Huge variety, though.
Oh, yeah. And not only that, hopefully people were able to hear as we were talking about this, each of these characters have character. Yeah. There's a depth. They have a story before the game began. They have a little arc as the game transpires. Like, they feel like they are really a part of this and not just serving the narrative at hand. And so, like every single one of your characters have a story that's going on in their world. And almost every battle that you engage in, outside of like your random overworld traveling stuff, feels like it's a part of one of the narratives, one of the many branching narratives that are occurring.
Yeah.
That's why I love Final Fantasy, because it's telling a story and it's developing these characters. And again, Final Fantasy IV was one of the first ones to do that.
Anthony, do you have a favorite section of the story, like of the game, since you beat it? I haven't beat it, by the way. I've played this many times. I've never beat it. What's your favorite like area or section of the story?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I really enjoy like the end game the end of the game. I don't know if it's a spoiler, but when you're not on Earth, I really enjoy that part. I think it's a wonderful part to play. You have all the characters that you really want to, you know, have in your party. It's enjoyable.
Yep. Nice.
I beat the game.
Did you?
Yeah. So I've obviously beaten the game before, but I beat the game today, this morning, before we finished, before we started recording. We had 2 weeks to play it.
Yeah, and I, but still.
But I did put in 20, I'll have to check the clock, but 25 hours. I didn't just beat it. Sorry, I completed it. I got all of the characters' best weapons. I did all the extra content that the GBA provides. I think I've opened every chest. I haven't filled out the bestiary because I don't do all that. That's nonsense. But I didn't do the post-game cave, which the GBA has a few new things. Let's talk about that. How about the GBA has a few additions to the Super Nintendo version. I'll say one, and then Antonin, maybe if you just want to hit the others, but I was just on that. I think there are two new caves in the Game Boy Advance version. Oh. There's one where before the end of the game, you can go and get a lot of your character's best weapons and armor, and then there's a post-game cave that is just even a higher level challenge type thing. Antonin, are you familiar with some of the other additions here?
So I'm not a completionist, and the 3D version does not have any of those additions, which is also why I don't recommend people play that. So I didn't get to it. I know what you're talking about, but I don't know the details about it.
Yeah. Mm. So in the GBA version, of course, there's graphical differences and musical differences. I guess refined soundtrack with the new soundscape that they can do. The graphics are updated. One of the things that I love that was added here are the character portraits. I think that adds so much, and that wasn't in the original.
Really? It wasn't?
Yeah,
it wasn't.
I didn't know
Not
that.
On SNES.
Yeah, no. And so those character portraits are amazing. The visible ATB bar, I think, was another one of them. There's a few things that were changed here in the GBA version.
Well, and even just like firing differently, though the visuals, I think, do some similar kind of stuff. A lot of what they did on the SNES took advantage of like Mode 7 and things right. that were novel to the Super Nintendo. And I, you know, like the GBA is just a whole different platform with different abilities.
And so it's mobile.
They certainly had to cater some of that.
The GBA is and insane.
Best console. I'm gonna mod mine. I have a GBA, and I'm planning to mod it with my kids. Ooh. They can take it apart and put it together by themselves. So for a 3 and 5 year old, that's pretty good.
One of the things, kind of, that I'm just curious about for all of you that we've been talking about this whole time is this whole character driven plot, of like predetermined character classes. Kenny, you've already kind of clarified that that's not your thing. You like more control.
Yeah, it makes the game feel a little more constrained. It feels like some of your decisions are made for you.
Yes.
I don't mind it, but it just feels like a different type of game. And it's a shift in the direction of kind of where the whole series goes. And it's fine. It makes it more accessible. It allows them to do more storytelling. But there's a reason that now I do open world stuff, and I like the freedom to explore. And there's some of that here. You know, they do like world exploration so that you can go find some cool items in little hidden chambers. And there's things that are rewarding, but it feels a lot more like you're just sort of cruise controlling your way through an interesting story. And it's not a bad thing. It's just not my favorite thing.
Antonin, is the linearity a problem for you, or is it something that you like?
I like both. I think I prefer having the pre-made classes because I personally don't feel comfortable creating parties until I went through this game and I'm like, okay, I tried out all these different party types, and now as I'm starting like 5, I'm looking forward to building my own party. And I think 3 also prepped me for, hey, I want to build my own party. But generally speaking, I like to go with what's default. I do have some issues with the story, but I do like to go with the default.
And I just thought, as you were saying that, I know why I prefer that as well, because no matter what kind of game I'm playing, that's how I play. I pull up a guide and do exactly what they tell me to. So yeah. I'm always doing a pre-made type situation no matter what.
Yeah.
And then Nolan, does the linearity bother you?
No, I'm with you on this one. This, like, even if the writing is a little bad, like, I get a little overwhelmed with like Final Fantasy V and some of those other ones. And I would much rather have cool characters that are set in stone like this. And I'm glad that that's what the series started to do after this point, because that's what happens now. I mean, they have an MMO if you want the customization, but if you want like a full story and characters, you can play any of the other ones. So yeah, I'm all for the linearity.
You said you would prefer cool characters set in stone, which is exactly what happened to Kenny's favorite characters in this game. Antonin, you said some story issues. What are some of the problematic?
Oh, no.
I know I've been listening to your episodes on Yaff, and I've caught up. So I've heard about the toxic masculinity and the and the genocide. What are some of the things that you find problematic here?
Wait. So before I talk about the genocide. I have a question for Nolan. What? So Nolan, I listen to your, I watch your YouTube stuff, right? And you play Path of Exile.
Yes.
How is the overwhelming customization in Path of Exile any easier than picking 4 classes for your characters?
Because in that game, I'm not in it for the story. The lore is there. It's more of like a very grindy game, and I want the grind. The company's called Grinding Gear Games, and so it's designed that way very intentionally. So the lore is cool, but I'm less interested in that. In this game, I'm not as interested in character development as I am, well, story character development, but not like stat development, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I played Path of Exile for the story. So
Kitala, yeah.
Onto the genocide.
Yeah, so sorry. I know I'm taking up extra time.
Oh no,
he's kidding.
So yeah, there's obviously a lot of problematic things in this game as far as the story goes. The first one being that Cecil's killing people left and right. He's on an airship at the beginning of the game being like, oh, hey, maybe this is not an okay thing to do. And the redemption arc just feels very flat because he kills... Wait, hold on. Too many spoilers. Is it a spoiler the first 5 minutes of the game?
No.
It's early in the game and we're 15 years later.
It's fine.
I think you're good.
He kills Rydia's mom. He destroys he's part of destroying the entire her entire village, and there's some like other things where like Edward is crying because somebody literally just died in his arms.
I think his wife, right? Or
yeah,
fiance.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're like, "Hey, you need to stop crying." I'm like, "It just happened. Her body's probably still warm. Like, what are you talking about?" Or, yeah. You know, Rydia saw her entire village and family go up in flames, and the first spell that they ask her to learn is fire. Like,
right.
That all feels extremely problematic. And then Cecil's redemption is, I'm going to walk up a mountain. Like, that's great. I walk up the mountain all the time. I hope that, you know, that rids me of any, you know, sins or crimes against humanity if I ever commit those.
it's certainly pretty forced. I appreciate that they tried to do that because, you know, I felt this whole, like, I don't really like this guy thing. And then they sort of tried to address it over time. But yeah, it's not like he grew. His character was sort of like forced to grow. He was like taken there and was like, no, you're not going to be a bad guy anymore. You're now a good guy. And I'm like, what is he? And so I totally buy it. It was, a little uncomfortable.
Dustin, are we on the opposite side of the fence here?
Well, no, I am. I'm on the fence of this is 1991, and they're doing the best that they can at the time, you know?
Yeah, they're not like the best writers of all time, but I think it's interesting that the main character is the bad guy at first. That's different than a teenager in town that's like,
that is cool.
I have to stop the bad guys. Like, yeah, I like right. it. I think it's kind of cool.
He presumably still has parents that are alive. It's weird. Like a main character that's not an orphan in a fantasy novel story.
Fantasy novel?
What happened to his mom? You know, that's hinted at in the 3D version. I don't know what happened. Like, I think it's in the sequel, right? Have you all played it?
No, after years. Yeah, there's a sequel to this one that I haven't played, actually.
Same. I think it's the same game director, right? Like, it's the continuing the story. It's... Yeah.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. I remember when that came out. That was like a huge deal. Yeah, because a lot of people really like 4, I think. Like, you know, you ask people their favorite, 4 is usually up there.
And I think that it is up there in large part because of the storytelling, character development type situation that I don't think is finalized or fleshed out here. To be honest with you, among the 2D Final Fantasies, this is one of my, it's not my least favorite, 5 is, but... I think it's right in the middle. I think I prefer a lot of 2 and 3, especially the remade versions where they do give a little bit more characterization and names even to some of the characters. Because 4, the story here is a little bit weaker. I feel like it gets stronger as it goes on, but it's still not the best that the Final Fantasy series has to offer.
At least they try to do good, like, genuine storytelling. I feel like some of these fantasy games are like, oh, it's the end of the world, oh, this thing just became a monster, and it just like throws twists and things at you for no reason, and it's just this giant like hodgepodge of nonsense, and the characters aren't like part of it. They tried to do more immersive storytelling here, and it maybe whiffed on how they went about it a few places, but at least they tried. But before we fully give up, a couple other gameplay questions I want to ask you guys real quick. What'd you think of the bosses? And is this the first time in the series that we get summons?
Antonin would know.
I would know, yeah. So this is a technicality, but I believe that Final Fantasy II is the first summon where you get to use a wyvern as an item and it casts lightning. That is my little... I know, but Final Fantasy III is the official.
Gotcha. Final like Fantasy as 3, a mechanic, yeah. It exists in 3.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a job.
Aged. So being a remake, you call it that? Port?
Yeah.
Remake. They changed it.
Somewhere in between. It's not like super changed.
Well, I'm going to call it a remake. We don't have many of those on the podcast. Like, we've had some, but not many. So that's one thing that was like on my mind this whole week when I was playing it. Like, if I went back and played the SNES version, I think it might be rough. There's a lot of quality of life stuff here, and we've named many of them, if not all of them, that really make this game approachable. So I really wanted to ask Antonin, because earlier you said that you have a theory that this game was made for newcomers because of how hand-holdy it might be at times. Do you think that this remake is approachable? Like, do you think it's easy for someone who has no experience with Final Fantasy to play this game?
I think there are difficult parts. So this, like I said, this was the first Final Fantasy game I've beaten, and it's the one that I played the most. I had to have a guide open the whole time back in 2005. I think the franchise, or not the franchise, but the genre as a whole, JRPGs, have trouble being approachable because you don't really have a quest log, you don't really have like quest markers. Most of the time, you don't really know where you're going until you get the hang of how these games work. So I would say it's as approachable as you can make a JRPG without making, you know, without mixing it with another maybe Western genre right. that uses quest logs.
That's fair.
Yeah. And Nolan, you said hand-holdy, but part of the idea was that it was hand-heldy. Like, this you're is supposed to be something that's GBA. Like, you want it to be a pickup and casual and accessible game, not just like for audience, but for like the nature of a handheld. True. It's gonna be less immersive and more, it needs to be more accessible.
And it is. The Super Nintendo North American release is not the version of this game that you should play for many reasons.
It's bold.
This script that is used is simplified and poorly translated.
Really?
There are, worse because than of this. Space. Oh, yes, far worse than wow. this. The script is even made shorter because of storage issues. So they took out a few character arcs and story pieces.
So the redemption arc is even faster. I'm evil. Now I'm good.
Yeah.
He climbs a hill.
The all like religious or even like close to sexual imagery or death ideas removed. Were all removed entirely. So like the holy spell was renamed white because we can't do that in North America.
whereas if we were remaking it in 2020, it would be exactly the opposite.
Witchcraft. Right.
What was the name of the Mycidium Tower? I think it was what? Wish Tower in
the Tower
SNES
of Wishes.
Version?
Yeah. Tower yeah. of Wishes.
Was that like a, like in the GBA as well when you went through it?
I think it was the Tower of Prayers is what it's called in the GBA version, which they took out all instances of praying and prayers. That's the North American censors at that time. Yeah. Also, there's a lot of bugs in the Super Nintendo version. I think the encounter rate is even higher, which some find problematic even in the GBA version here.
It's high, yeah. Even in the GBA when high. I was like, all right, that's enough for
it's
those.
It's totally fine.
What'd you say, Antonin?
It's totally fine. It's doable. I don't see the problem.
Yeah.
Embrace the grind.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a game, honestly, in a lot of Final Fantasies, you do need to grind a lot. I did grind some for personal decisions, but I think you can get pretty far without having to grind
yeah,
much.
Yeah, I didn't once, and I was fine.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't get through the whole game, but I was fine.
Yeah, it feels less mandatory. Like, they're trying to get you to... to be able to go
against
through
that story
for
pace.
Ease of life, yeah, I always jump into grinding on these. I want to feel a little strong and not have to feel like I'm cutting it super close. But yeah, they certainly tried to address that here.
I like to grind like when I'm just I have downtime. So like when I'm just hanging out and talking to people on voice chat on Discord, I'll pull up Final Fantasy V or IV or whatever I'm playing and just grind for fun, and it makes the whole game easy. Yeah. Especially the final cave, that was a breeze for me. And I know it's a difficult one.
Which is a good point to bring up, because if I recall correctly, Antonin, you play your video games without sound?
I don't like video game sounds.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
I play Hades on mute. I play Final Fantasy games on mute. I play everything on mute. I don't like sound.
Hades?
Oh, yeah. Can he's
like half music. Of what's great about that game is that soundtrack. It's killer.
Wow. I know. I forced myself to play Bastion without muting, but I have to mute sometimes because I'm like, I don't want to listen to this. I like to watch a show or listen to my own music.
So do you have anything to contribute here about the GBA version of apparently the OST?
He's like,
absolutely not.
He's like, the music was really lacking, guys.
He actually doesn't have anything because he didn't listen to it for real, real. I'm a fan.
I listened a little bit, and it's good. It's good quality. It sounds good, but I muted it very quickly.
Sounds good, check. You've never listened to our Nintendo 64 or PlayStation relaxing playlist on our YouTube channel, which is in the annotation, but
I got to find this and put an annotation.
Nolan, you are the OST boy. Final Fantasy historically has great soundtracks. How did you think it translated to the GBA version of Final Fantasy
4? Oh. I don't know what the original sounds like. This is my only point of reference for this one specifically, but it's masterful. It's beautiful. I think 4 might have one of the better soundtracks. They're all great, so it's kind of hard to rank them in the first place. Like, even bad Final Fantasies, like you say you don't like 5. I'm sure that soundtrack's killer. But, man, some of the tracks in here were, like, so good.
It's a little bit easier for a game like this because they already have well-known tracks. You already have your victory music. You already have your kind of world themes. And so all they're doing is adding like layers or variations of that and then some specific flavor based on dungeons. There were good ones here. There were one or two that I just thought were okay. But overall, I certainly have no complaints on the music.
I think that one of the reasons I like Final Fantasy, apart from the story and the character development, is that there's just this gravitas to Final Fantasy games that you don't always get in other games, in other RPGs. And I think it's largely due to the soundtrack that is behind it. Like, I tried to think this week, like, even stripping away the soundtrack, would I still have some of those same feelings and emotions? So there's a point later in the story where some of your characters that have left the party show back up to unite with you to overcome this evil. And it's a surprise. And it looks good, especially on the GBA. But it feels good because of this epic music that starts playing behind it, even on the handheld. What, Kenny?
I like how you say it's a surprise, because, like, not anymore.
It is. I coded all of that so that it would be surprising to you even.
No, I know what you mean. It adds so much.
Just adds this depth and this greatness. That, Antonin, you're missing out on,
man.
I know. Sometimes I unmute for like cutscenes, but I don't know why. I don't know why I do this.
He could be watching a movie in the background that's like scored really well. You don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, while I was grinding in the game this week, I was watching real life depositions on my other monitor. Yeah. So,
oh, that's fun.
That's what I was doing. I do think that there are some mechanics that don't age well just when it comes to JRPG playing today. One of those, I don't know if you came into contact with it. I'm sure you did, Antonin. Limited inventory capacity was a frustration of mine. You can only have a certain amount of... That never happened to you, Antonin?
I haven't had it happen in any of the games, but I also like sell everything almost immediately.
Gotcha.
And I just keep potions and Phoenix Downs and that's it.
Oh, see, I never sell.
In video games and in real life, I'm like, I'm going to need that one thing at some point in the video game. So
I think I learned my lesson like Final Fantasy 3, where I was hoarding stuff and then you get to like one of the final dungeons and you're like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and just beat bosses and get way better weapons and armor. So there's no point in keeping stuff.
Yeah. But in this game, I feel like there is some because like I mentioned, some characters leave your party and come back later.
Right.
And there was one time where one of my characters came back and they had no equipment on them that they left with. And so I had to go to a town and buy the equipment again. And it was frustrating. Mm.
I don't see that as a problem.
It's also a problem because some of your items have actives on them.
Yeah.
And I don't want to lose that ability to get like a free cast of something. And so at least those types of items I tended to hoard even once they got outclassed by others because they like did a unique thing.
The game's actually not that expensive. You can get just a loose game for $17, which is cheap, I feel like, or $80 brand new and in the box.
So I can sell my copy for $20, you think?
Do you have the full GBA catalog, dude?
I've got a lot of GBA games. I have like 50.
I think this one's worth it.
I'm going to rob your house, Nolan.
No, you're not. You're
definitely worth it.
Final thoughts.
At the end of this episode, we'd love to give our summary concluding thoughts on Final Fantasy IV Advance. Antonin will conclude with you so you can have the final word on the matter. I'll start because I love Final Fantasy.
Go for it.
And Final Fantasy is my game series. It is the series that got me into RPGs, that got me into video games at large, and is why I now do a weekly podcast with my buddy buds. I love all of the Final... I love most of the Final Fantasies, and I respect all of the Final Fantasies. Final Fantasy... There's a huge line between 2D and 3D when it comes to Final Fantasy. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and then you've got 7 onward, and that is kind of a huge split. I came in at 7, and then retroactively came back to these other starts, and respect them for what they are, but they are more difficult for a modern gamer because they're slower, they require grind, there's some mechanic that doesn't necessarily make sense to the modern gamer. However, even despite the story problems and some of the mechanical issues here and the genocide, I think that Final Fantasy IV Advance is among, if not the best way to play Final Fantasy IV. And although it's not my favorite of the classic Final Fantasies, I still most certainly say that it is an excellent game worth playing. And most Final Fantasies are, and this is most certainly one of them. So that's my concluding thoughts. Nolan, and then Kenny.
Yeah, I'll go. So between the newer Final Fantasies and this era, this is definitely my favorite side of that coin because it's so charming. I mean, I feel like the art from these games inspired so many pixel artists today. And like, it's just always going to look good. And so for many other reasons, I feel like this game's timeless. I think 6 perfected all of that. Like, I think 6 is my favorite. However, there's something about 4 that's always intrigued me. And playing it again this week, these 2 weeks, I think it's that they were trying something new. They had a vision of like where they wanted the series to go. And this is one of the earliest like games to experience that thought process, and it's just impressive to me that so many of the themes started here and then continued. And for that reason alone, like, it bumps 4 up in my list like just so much because of firsts and quality and the unique story. Even though it's not the best story in it, yes, it has issues, I still love it, love the characters. So yeah, it's an excellent, excellent GBA game.
Kenny?
Yeah, like you guys, I enjoy the Final Fantasy series. And unlike Dustin, I may prefer some of the earlier ones to the later ones. Maybe with the exception of 7, which is, of course, excellent. So I really enjoyed playing it this week. It's a good game. I certainly feel the constraints of kind of them being story heavier and the game being a little bit more linear. I wanted a little bit more freedom there, but everything else were all really, really good natural evolutions. It's hard for me not to look at other RPGs that were Super Nintendo era and do a little bit of comparison. This is certainly no Chrono Trigger in my mind, which I prefer and I think is a somewhat fair comparison. But still an enjoyable game. So I had a great time with it.
Antonin, thanks for being our guest. Thanks for selecting this game. What are your concluding thoughts on Final Fantasy IV Advance?
So I think I said a lot of negative things throughout the podcast about the story and all the other stuff, but I think that the art of this game is beautiful. It is so bright. It's so nice. 5 is much darker. I haven't played 6 yet. You know, it feels like a classic Final Fantasy. It has crystals. It has Cid. It has airships. You know, it feels like a classic Final Fantasy game. You've got, from the music that I have heard, it's good. And I think it's a great intro into the classic series of Final Fantasy. If you want a 2D Final Fantasy game that is good, you know, I said negative things about the story, but it's still a fairly good story to just play, you know, and it's a good addition to the fantastic mechanics, the ATB and everything else. I think it's an all-around great game and a great introduction to Final Fantasy. That's my concluding thought. NGP status. I can't set it, so
no. Oh, no, you get to. You're the guest. You get to set that. So definitely find a copy of Final Fantasy IV Advance. Play it. I know that many of you have before, and many of you did this week. We had many people write in, too many to include on this episode, so but many. Thank you all for submitting your commentary through email or through Discord. Casey, first time writing in, said, I've loved video games since I got my first NES when I was 7, and I still play video games on that to this day. Out of all the video games over all of the years, there's one game that means the most to me personally. That's the Super NES version of Final Fantasy IV. I literally jumped up and down and cheered in my living room when FF4 was selected, so thanks, Antonin. Because it's responsible for forging a lifelong friendship for me. And then in Discord, I believe, is where the story is. This might have been an email, but if it is, I'll put it in the Discord channel. They include their story of becoming best friends with someone in 7th grade over Final Fantasy IV.
The best.
And then Casey continued, gamers can get contentious when discussing the best Final Fantasy games. Sorry, Dustin, but I'll never agree that 7 is better than any of the 2D FF games. But Final Fantasy IV will always be closest to my heart because it gave me the gift of my best buddy. Keep up the excellent podcast work.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I love so cool. That. That's so cool.
Lil Diz. This is also the first time that Lil Diz is writing in. Said, this was the first real JRPG I've ever played, so it has a special place for me while growing up. The story at times is a little cliche with mind control and damsel in distress, but if executed right, it can be a good thing. All the characters, no matter what part they play in the story to me, are very memorable. The encounter rate sometimes made me a little frustrated because it was much higher in the dungeons than being outside. The one thing I really loved about this version of the game was being able to use characters outside of the main 5, like Palom and Porom, and do optional dungeons to get their ultimate weapons. The music for this game is my absolute favorite. I bought the soundtrack a few years ago when Distant Worlds game came to town, and I hope Nolan can agree that this is a good soundtrack, though most of the tracks are short. To me, this game, no matter what system it's on, deserves NGP.
I got you. Antonin does not got you, but I got you.
Antonin wouldn't know. So one of the things I think we said, but at the end of the game or near the end of the game in the GBA version, you can go back and cycle through and use any party members that you want from throughout the game to finish the game.
Did his message along with your coded message absolutely ruin something for me?
No, I'm telling you that in the GBA version, you can go to this certain room and have unlocked to you all of the characters that have been in your party throughout the game.
Do my twins come back? Because I'm pretty convinced they come back now.
I don't know why you haven't played through and finished Final Fantasy IV.
They're not your twins.
I'll play it eventually. But now I know.
You
and
don't
so...
know what you think you know. Clint. I know. Clint said, gosh, has my experience with this game been rocky? The first 4 hours of the game, I was plagued by terrible luck with encounter rate, which led me to swear this game off. But I gave it a second chance and didn't run into that issue again. The majority of the game was fun. It was a fun adventure and a quick FF game in comparison to Final Fantasy II, which felt like ages between story segments at times. All was well and good until the end. I made it to the boss rush. There was no stopping me. Well, I would like that to have been true. However, after 30 minutes of brutal fighting against the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse and their main robot, or and their moon robot, I had to admit a very bitter defeat. This would have been fine if you were like most people and found the save point before that fight, but I missed it apparently and lost an entire endgame dungeon of progress. I couldn't go through that again. It won't be topping my list of Final Fantasy games, not by a long shot, but Rydia is a precious baby and must be protected.
Oh,
absolutely.
She's your girl.
That sucks. That's bad mechanics or just bad luck?
He missed the save point. But
right. Yeah. So it's just salt then.
Sorry. Yeah. Get good.
Oh.
I don't know if this is a good place to do this, but there's a podcast I listened to on Final Fantasy, and they went through the Final Fantasy 4 game. They missed the save point as well, and they die constantly. And it's just these two guys that rage about it, about how they keep missing save points and dying and having to redo dungeons. Mm, so he's not the only one.
Don't miss save points.
Not the only one.
We had many other, like George Washington, Jafar, Michael, and others write in. I want to conclude with Garlyle's thoughts. Garlyle's another director of ours. He said, on the subject of Final Fantasy IV itself, it's all right, but I'm largely over it. Every time I play, I notice more and more how flat on its face its writing falls. And while the decision to get rid of Final Fantasy Signature character customization might have made the game more accessible to many, it also leaves little room to do anything new on a replay. As for this version, though, it's bad. You get a soundtrack that is often a drastic downgrade due to sound font differences, and the battle system is a mess. It lags up frequently enough and drops inputs, and that's not counting its incredibly broken ATB that randomly assigns some characters instant extra turns and refuses to allow others to act. Play the PSP version if you want a fully refined classic, or the 3D version if you want a more complex challenge. Skip this release.
Okay, so
or be a purist and embrace the grind and how difficult and annoying it's going to be, and play on the SNES.
Garlyle would know. Garlyle plays every game to completion.
Yes.
So I guess play the PSP version. It sounds like, but that was harsh. This game's excellent. That was harsh.
I would say be a purist and play every version.
Don't do that.
Just to be sure.
I agree about the PSP version, because I think you can buy a pack where it's the first one, a sequel, and then like an in-between game that's only on the PSP.
Dude, PSP was a great console too. Dustin, I don't know if you know. I think you'd also love it.
Is PSP 3D as well?
2D.
I don't like the style of graphics, 2D-ish. Though. Yeah.
It's not 3D.
Yeah, well... It's not as good as GBA. GBA is the best console of all time.
There we go.
So thank you for playing Final Fantasy IV Advance with us, for writing and sending in your commentary. You can always do that. Send in to ngppodcast@gmail.com or join our Discord and drop it in the commentary section there. We'd love to include your thoughts as a part of our episode every single week. For now, we're going to set aside Final Fantasy IV Advance. You know what we're going to do, Antonin. What are we going to do?
Oh, I'm so excited about this part. You're going to randomly select a game that's 15 years or older for the master list.
We should have just let Antonin carry it, because he probably could like do the word, you know, word for word.
He knows.
All right. Well, Antonin, we are randomizing now. We're going to the PC in 1996.
Oh, no.
It is a non-violent first-person shooter, which is the best type of game.
Water guns?
Thief.
A non-violent first-person shooter created by Digital Cafe as a serial promotion aged at children aged 6 through 9.
Cheerios.
I hate when we get advertising-driven stuff. Although I liked Cool Spot.
No, so we're cool going, so maybe. We're going from a Square JRPG in the early 90s, remade on the GBA, to Chex Quest.
Chex is such a low-tier cereal. Like,
well, they needed
why
a video
did they make
game
a game?
To-
It's such a bad cereal that the only way people eat it is to like melt chocolate on it and then call it like a snack.
Are Chex and Chex Mix a different thing?
Chex are used in Chex Mix,
yeah,
right?
And they're fine in that context. Cereal,
not as a cereal. Well, Chex Quest is known today for having been the first video game ever to be included in cereal boxes as a prize. So I'm sure we'll talk about that more next week.
That's going to be such a weird episode. I'm so excited.
They dropped it in there. So
wow.
And I'm just seeing more and more just great. In 2019, General Mills released Chex Quest and a previously unofficial 2008 sequel, and presented a mini documentary on it that's available on YouTube.
Wait a minute. This is another Yonoid. This is going to be a good episode.
This is
going
to be worse.
No,
it's going to be bad. Find a copy.
I'm afraid.
Find a box of Chex Mix so you can find a copy of Chex Quest and play it along with us this week.
I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, and I'm cuckoo for Discord. We have a Discord.
That was a Kenny thing to do. That was a Kenny thing to do.
That was good. We have a Discord server, and we want you to be a part of it. Antonin mentioned how great our community is, and I agree. You can be a part of that by going to ngppodcast.com and clicking Join Us in Discord.
Checks out this amazing list of people our podcast.
That was good.
Some of our producer-level supporters on Patreon.com include Amarlian, Austin, Ben, Brojim, Carrie, David, Francesca, Corey, Maxima, Mr. Lattes, Shauna, William, and Zion. We want to say another big shout-out thank you to Rick and Astral Soul, who is back in his patronage of the show. Thank you guys so much for hopping on board. And, of course, want to give a huge shout-out to our director-level supporters, Garlisle, Antonin, who obviously we have pointed out and who we are making this entire episode about. Thank you so much for A, your long-term support of this show, and B, just your willingness to like be here and share your time with us this week. Thanks so much. And a new director-level supporter joining at that tier this week, Unbedavable. Thank you so much for joining this somewhat exclusive club.
Thank you.
Our community is just truly, truly the best. Thanks, guys.
What are we going to play with, Unbedavable? Maybe Final Fantasy V Advance?
Is that on GBA? It is, isn't it?
Maybe Chex Adventures too.
I wouldn't hate FF5. That'd be cool.
You heard that here first. Unbedavable. We'll see you soon. All right. You can follow us on our social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. All of those links are in the show notes. Antonin, again, thank you so much for being our guest. Where can they find you? A little bit about your podcast.
Sure. You can find me on the NGP podcast Discord.
Yep.
But you can look up my podcast. It's YAFF YAF podcast. You can find me on Twitter. It's twitter.com/YAF podcast. Or you can find my personal account, twitter.com/AntJanus, AntJanus. And yeah, that's where I'm at.
And a genuine thank you, Antonin, seriously, for following us for so long. New Game Plus is a community podcast, a community driven led podcast. And you have been a vital part of making that community and keeping that community. And it's because of you and a few others that really inspire us to keep doing this every week.
Yeah.
So thank you for being a part of the community, and thank you for joining us for this episode.
Yeah, thanks so much.
For sure.
Thanks. I really appreciate it. And for anybody who's on the Discord, I'm the one who made the bot. So if you have any problems with it, you can address those at me.
Yeah. That's Antonin's fault. Listen to us directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our good friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play Chex Quest. Until then, I'm still Cecil.
I'm hungry for better cereal than Chex.
I'm Nolan, and I'm hydrated.
And?
I'm here to protect radio.
And this has been a very special director episode of New Game Plus.